Good morning, Gateway Church Liverpool. It's great to be with you. Wonderful to hear that testimony from despair to hope that Bibi's just shared with you. She shared that with us in Edinburgh for our meeting last Sunday. And Russ has asked if I could preach on the back of that today, as I did in our home church up at 3CI. And so it's a privilege to be with you. And this is a wonderful theme to be preaching on today because, yeah, in the current environment that we're in, people are hungry, they're looking, they're desperate for hope. And we're going to look at an account in the Gospels out of Mark chapter 5 today. I'm not going to read the text because of time, but I want to do an overview of the story. And it could be called A Tale of Two Daughters or A Tale of Two Ladies who came out of two specific situations of desperation. And they came into a place of hope as they encountered Jesus. One was a woman who'd had a chronic health condition for 12 years. And the other was a little girl who was also 12 years old and was at the point of death. And it's like Mark is weaving these stories together, connecting almost like the 12 long years of one lady with the 12 short years of a girl. And I want to call these two ladies Mona, who had the chronic condition, and Lisa, who was the young girl. And if you put those two together, you get a picture that Mark is painting here of who Jesus is and how he can transform our lives from despair to hope. So the story begins with Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue, coming to Jesus. And he's desperate. He's frantic. He's a man of high standing, probably well off. But he comes and he falls at Jesus' knees. And he implores him, he begs him, says, come and heal my daughter. She's at the point of death. But I know that if you lay your hands upon her, she will be made well and she will live. So this guy has faith. And Jesus doesn't hesitate. Immediately, he goes off with him. And a whole crowd, like a rugby scrum, presses in behind him. And they're on the way. And it's like the crowd are expecting another miracle because there's been a series of power encounters and miracles in the Gospel of Mark so far. And suddenly, Jesus stops in his tracks. And you can imagine at this moment, Jairus is wondering, what's going on? We're on a mission to go and save my daughter. But he stops and he turns around in the crowd and he says, who touched my clothes? And the disciples are beside themselves as well. And they say, well, Jesus, you're out of your mind. There's so many people around here. How can you say who touched your clothes? But then a woman, Mona, steps out of the crowd and she's fearful and she's trembling. She's nervous. But then she tells her whole story. And this is the story that she tells, that she has had this internal bleeding condition in her body for 12 long years. She's been to one doctor after the next, and not only has she not been cured, but her condition has got worse, as probably maybe the procedures haven't gone as anticipated, and potentially the bleeding has not got better, but actually it's just increased. And in addition to that, she's spent all her livelihood and all her finance to try and sort this thing. So she's at her wit's end. So she describes this story and how that she's been saying to herself, she's heard about Jesus, and she's been saying to herself, if only I can just get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment, just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She has faith that if she does that, that will happen to her. But she just wants to get healed and then slide away back into the crowd anonymously. She wants to come, get what she wants, and move on. But Jesus will have none of that. He turns around and he draws her out of the crowd to tell her story, to go public before the crowd. And he does that for her benefit, and he does that for the whole crowd to hear not just that her story, which she's wanting them to hear, but also how has she been healed? And what extent has she been healed to? And so the first thing that Jesus clarifies by doing this for her and for all is that it's not just the touch of her hand, but it's the faith in her heart that has been the jump lead from that has caused the power to be drawn out of Jesus and to come into her body. Because the text says, as soon as she touched his garment, she felt that she was healed in her body. And Jesus immediately knew that power had been drawn out of him. You know, if you like me have experienced a flat battery on a winter's day, I've had it a few times. You know, you call a neighbor or a friend and you get the jump leads out. And yeah, the charge comes out of that live battery and it restores the battery in the one that's kind of been run down. And this woman has received power as she's touched Jesus. And the word power there is the word dunamis. It's the first time that word's used in Mark's gospel. And it's an amazing word. It's where we get our word dynamite from, or dynamic. And it speaks of ability in the Greek language. It's miraculous ability. It's power, it's strength, it's energy, it's force. And that's what's been imparted as she's touched Christ. But Jesus wants the crowd to know it's not just the touch on a cloth, but it's actually faith in her heart that has drawn this power out of him. Because the whole crowd has been pressing in, the whole crowd has been touching him, but only one has received, has drawn on the power of heaven. And that's an incredible challenge for us again today, friends, in this season. How much are we pressing into Jesus? Because faith is active. Faith is not a static commodity. Faith is something that speaks as she spoke. She knew that if she could just press in, she would be healed. But also it's active, it's engaging. But Jesus then draws her out also to bring wholeness to her life, because the condition that she had made her ceremoniously unclean. In terms of the Jewish law, we find that in Leviticus 25:15, that someone with that condition was viewed to be unclean. And if she touched anybody, that person became unclean, or if anybody touched her, vice versa. And so he draws her out. And it's a wonderful thing, this, to actually show her that she's now acceptable. She's received wholeness, not just in her body, but she's welcomed back into community, into society. She can come out of isolation. She can come out of her lockdown, and she can come back into this embrace as with value and worth. And it's a wonderful thing, friends. And Jesus takes ownership of her uncleanness as well. And he says, yeah, she has been made whole. The river has flowed out of me and brought a healing and a wholeness to her life. He goes on to say in verse 34, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Be healed, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And I just want to unpack a little bit of that verse. Not only is he saying that you're physically healed, and you're socially and relationally made acceptable again, but he says you're a daughter of the King, and you've received a peace now. You haven't only received physical healing, but you've come into a dynamic new relationship with the living God, because you've made connection. You've linked in to me, Jesus is saying. And if you look at the words in that text, the word for being made well is the word sozo. It's the word that is used for being saved or salvation through most of the New Testament. And he's saying you've come into this new living relationship through this touch. You're a daughter of the King. He doesn't just say lady or woman, but daughter. It's a wonderful thing. You've come into a new relationship with me. And you're now at peace with God. Walk in that peace. And the Greek word there is the word Irene. And it comes from a word Iro, which means to be joined to be linked in, and to be linked into this new relationship. So how about us in this time of lockdown and this pandemic? Are we pressing into Jesus? Are we pressing into his power, the dynamic of who he is, and drawing from him? And then are we going public? Is he calling you out of the crowd today, friends? Because the purpose of the power in our lives is to testify to who he is. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me. Witnessing is an overflow of our relationship with Jesus. You know, when you enjoy something, when you're passionate about something, you want to speak about it. It just flows out of you. And he wants us to be people that are so in touch with him, in tune with him, in love with him, passionately pressing into him, that we can, there's an overflow that comes out through our mouths. We're not like those Arctic rivers frozen at the mouth, but there's a river that we're tapping into on a daily basis. We're keeping on being filled with the Spirit and filling ourselves up with the life and the love of God, and it just flows out of our mouths. We need to be speaking the truth of what God has done in our lives. I want to encourage you today, friends, that your testimony matters. Each one of us has a night-to-day testimony. And Peter talks about in his letter that we should be those ever-ready batteries, walking in the dunamis of the gospel, unashamed of the power of the gospel, and walking in the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, ever ready, always be ready to give a reason when you are asked by anybody of the hope that is in you, with gentleness and respect. And so this lady is brought into wholeness. She's brought out of despair into hope, and she shares her story. Meanwhile, Jairus's blood pressure is rising. He's getting frustrated. He's getting irritated with Jesus because of this delay. And you can imagine him along with the disciples saying, Jesus, you're being unreasonable here. When you compare where we're going to, a life-threatening condition, an acute condition, with this chronic illness of 12 years, this is more important. Actually, if you think about it, if this was on in a hospital and a doctor was on their way to ICU to treat somebody who was at the point of death, and they were interrupted by somebody in a ward, and they delayed, and the person in ICU died, they could be sued for malpractice. And Jairus is frustrated here. And then his worst nightmare is realized when servants come from his house and they say to him, your daughter has died. Don't trouble the teacher any longer. But Jesus spins around immediately when he hears those words, and he looks Jairus straight into the eye and he says, don't be afraid, only believe. And at that moment, you can imagine the anguish, the pain in that man's heart, hearing the news of the loss of the daughter, the anger towards Jesus. Why? Has this happened? But Jesus challenges him, says, trust me, Jairus. And maybe for us in this season, in lockdown, where we've had so many roadblocks, where progress has been hindered in so many ways, where normality has been just turned upside down for us, and everything seems to be on hold, on pause. How are we responding to the delays in this season? Jesus wants to challenge us today. Actually, trust me, he's saying. Trust me. Because he uses delays to change our character. Somebody said, read this quote recently, that God didn't stop what he was doing in this pandemic, but he paused what we were doing, that we might realize afresh that we can do nothing without him. God uses delays to get our attention. God uses delays to challenge our faith, to test our faith, and sometimes our compassion for others. And so Jairus is being challenged in both of those areas here. His faith is being tested. Jesus is saying, will you trust me, even though this has happened? And his compassion is being challenged. Will you have compassion on others and not just the condition of where your daughter is at right now? And so Jesus goes with him, and then they come to the house with Peter, James, and John, and there's people wailing and there's a commotion outside. And Jesus says, why are you all weeping? She's not dead, she's just sleeping. And the crowd ridicule him. they know a dead child when they've seen one. But why did he say those words? I believe he said those words primarily for Jairus' benefit, so that Jairus could actually see those as words of hope again. Jesus is saying to Jairus, this is not a permanent condition. This is just a temporary. It's not a full stop. It's just a comma. And he walks in to the room of where the girl is lying. And this is it's a beautiful picture. And he just says, Lisa, this little girl, Lisa, get up. And he takes her by the hand and lifts her up. It's like a parent going into the room in the morning, opening the curtains and saying, hey, honey, it's time to get up. And they are utterly amazed and astonished. And no wonder. In Mark's gospel, up until now, we've seen Jesus healing people of various diseases. We've seen him delivering demoniacs and bringing people into freedom. We've seen him calming storms and taking authority over nature. But now his authority is seen on a totally different scale, as he just naturally and yet supernaturally and with love and grace and effortless power, he takes this girl by the hand and lifts her up. And so in this season, friends, God wants us to be conduits of hope. Jesus shows his power here in owning the uncleanness of one person and then bringing life to this little girl. It's a picture of what he did on the cross, where we had that amazing exchange, his righteousness for our sin, his peace for our wrongdoing, his glory for our sin. We have that incredible exchange that we can tap into, that we receive. We can receive salvation when we put our faith in him. And so are we, as believers in this season, are we passing that on to others? There's a beautiful scripture in Romans 15:13, where Paul says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. There's that thing of faith that enables us to tap into this life in the Holy Spirit, that you may abound in hope by the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. You see, friends, we've received that anointing through the Holy Spirit in our lives. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And God wants us to be conduits of that in word and in deed through sharing the gospel and demonstration practically through acts of kindness in this season. And yeah, I want to encourage us with that. Whatever delays you may be experiencing, God is in control. God is in charge. Bibi shared in her testimony that in that process of recovery from her depression, she's not sure why it took so long. And indeed, not sure why God allowed all of it to happen. But she knows that the Lord brought her out of that dark place of despair and fear into a place of hope and healing. And she said these words, it's engraved on my heart, the knowledge that he is good and gentle and kind, and nobody will convince me otherwise. Friends, that is such a beautiful thing, that we can know that Christ is with us. His favor is towards us in this lockdown time. When despair abounds, his grace abounds so much more. In Scotland right now, I heard this week on the news that 1 in 3 people are suffering in some way from mental or emotional health issues. So was said by someone from the Royal College of Psychiatry this week. Even before lockdown, 1 in 5 people in Scotland are on some kind of antidepressants. We live in a culture that is hungry for hope, and Jesus is the answer. He's all powerful, he's all loving, and he's able to walk into the room and pick you up and lift you up today. As you worship him today, as you're looking at this online, the Holy Spirit is present with you. I'm reminded of what he said in Jeremiah 29 to people who were in captivity in their Israel, in Babylon, in their own kind of lockdown, in exile. God came to them and spoke to them through the prophet Jeremiah. And he said, I know the plans that I have for you. I know the thoughts that I have. They are towards you. My favor is towards you. I want to give you they are good plans to give you peace, and they're not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And the Lord said to them, pray for where you are. Pray for where you are in lockdown. Pray for those who are around you right now. Pray for the good of the city, because as the city prospers, so you will prosper. He said, build. He said, be fruitful, be effective, be involved, be engaged where you are. And they were going to be in that place for 70 years. Now, we're trusting that this pandemic will be a lot shorter than that. But God is with us, friends, in this lockdown. And he wants to lift us up and be that people of hope. And he's prophesying over us. He speaks over his people. And as we just wrap up today, one of the things that Lynn and I sense as we are praying for you as a church is that you are this distribution center of hope to others. You are carriers of hope. And I just sense that God wants to open up new doors, the next doors for you to walk through, both individually and as a church. Doors of influence, doors of impact, doors of increase, where you're walking in a greater union with Jesus, pressing into him in faith, and then releasing that life, that strength, that hope to others. We're going to finish with a song now, and it's called When You Walk Into the Room, Everything Changes. And when Jesus walks into the room, as he walked into the lives of these two people, Jairus and Mona, and then Jairus' daughter Lisa, everything changed. He brought hope to their lives. And today he wants to fill us afresh and strengthen us and empower us to go out and be this community of hope, this people of hope, this city of hope, which you are as Gateway Church. And so, Father, I just thank you today, right now, for individuals, for couples. I pray that as folk just stand now and maybe even join hands where they are in homes, Lord, I just thank you that you are the ultimate hope for us. You're our fixed hope. You are the one who does not change. And I pray in the name of Jesus that by the power of your Spirit, you would walk into the room where people are right now as we worship you, and that you would strengthen, that you would lift heads, that you would lift hearts, that you would call people out of the crowd to move as light, and to share, to be unashamed in sharing, their night to day testimony with others. And we just thank you for increased influence, the next doors just being open for individuals and for this church, and for increased effectiveness and influence in Liverpool and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, friends.